courage, your wizard will follow you, no matter which ruler you choose. He stopped speaking, perhaps waiting for me to confirm or deny what he said, but I was distracted by the cold that numbed my arm. It didn't hurt anymore, and that worried me. Had they done something to me? Why just that arm? Had they tried to steal the ring? I can take Hirog, Ward. The mention of my obsession turned my attention back to Carrion. I have magic at my fingertips that will knock down her dark walls and leave her in ruins to get my dragon's bones. Or I can take you there and give you Hirog instead. You could swear fealty to me instead of the boy lover Jacobin. What do you owe him? He killed your cousin and took Hirog from you. Look what he's done to Orenstone. A man like that does not deserve the throne. Look beyond what is, Ward. 5 kingdoms dwindling into slow death in the hands of Talvin blood could be 6 flourishing lands under me. I could make you king of Shavig, Ward, as you should have been. I could hear my aunt patiently explaining how a war could be lost before the first blood was shed. The worst of it was that Carrion was right. Jacobin wasn't fit to manage an estate, let alone the 5 kingdoms. Carrion wouldn't stand by while another country ravaged his lands. He would protect what was his. I even understood his obsession with magic far better than I would ever understand Jacobin. For I was obsessed, too, with Hirog. At my feet, Tostin moved his hand briefly. Carrion must have seen the direction of my gaze. Bastia can heal his wounds. That's another of her talents. I see she didn't tell you of it. I'm sorry I let her play with him a little too long, but she'd earned her reward. She likes hurting things, and I indulge her when I can. As I said, she can heal the damage done to my allies. I bowed my head, staring at Tostin's hand that might never again touch a harp string. I thought numbly, Bastia did this? Bastia enjoyed my brother's pain?
Show him your pet, master, said Bastia suddenly.
He jerked on her chain, roughly pulling her to her knees, coughing and choking. Speak when I ask, slave! Have you been gone so long I must train you over again? She shook her head quickly, and it seemed to satisfy him. He rocked back upon his heels. The timing is not right. Let him think a while. She recovered control of her breathing, but she didn't get to her feet. Instead, she knelt in the molding rushes and kissed his boot. He raised her up with a finger under her chin, and she kissed his hand as she stood. I could see her face for a moment, and the blind adoration in it made me feel ill. I didn't understand. She could have stayed free of him. She was strong, a wizard even. I may not have loved her, but I had liked her. I stared at her for a long moment and wondered if she might be faking this. But Carrion said that she'd been the one who hurt my brother, that she'd enjoyed it. I couldn't imagine the Bastia I knew hurting anyone except in battle. She was a better actor than I was. I looked away and met Carrion's amused eyes. She is my chameleon, he said, reading my mind. She is whoever suits me best. A gift from my archmage, a human succubus. She belongs to me, body and soul. Don't you, Bastia?
Only to you, she answered.
Carrion held my gaze. Haven't you met a Cholite before? When they enter the Order, they give up their will to Chol's prophetess, the Cholin, or whomever she bestows them upon. The Cholin gave Bastia to me as a present when I turned 13. He left, leading Bastia behind him. I heard a bar slide into place on the other side of the closed door. After a moment, Tostin groaned again and sat up.
Did he mean that magic turned her into that?
I don't know, I said.
Pox rot you, he snapped weakly. Don't look at me like that. You didn't have a thing to do with it.
I should have spoken sooner.
Most of this happened after you talked.
He looked away from me and into the shadows.
God's Ward. I thought she was my friend. She broke my finger. Then she kissed me as if my pain were one of Mother's aphrodisiacs. She licked the blood from my back.
He shuddered.
Carrion had to drag her off of me.
Tostin bowed his head and spoke as if the words were dragged from his throat.
Tell me that it was magic that made her that way. Tell me that she is possessed by demons.
I don't think that even the gods can change someone completely. Some people just like others' pain, I whispered. Father was like that. I remembered a dark night when I held my lover while she cried and told me that my father had raped her. I said, after he beat me, he used to go straight away to his bed with whatever maidservant happened to be the closest. Tostin buried his face in his knee and laughed.
Aren't you supposed to be reassuring me at this point? You know, taking care of the helpless.
I can't protect you from knowledge, I said at last. You have to acknowledge evil, or you give it too much power over you. Look at Mother. She spent most of her life running from what our father was, so she left her children unprotected against him. I hadn't realized how angry I was with her, with the passive way she'd watched Father cut Tostin with a tongue that bruised as well as his fists, until Tostin had tried to kill himself to get away from it. In my dreams, Aurig had excused her by telling me that Hurog's magic twisted her, but she should have fought for her children.
She had you to protect her children,
said Tostin unexpectedly.
Me?
I'm like Mother, clinging to my troubles. All the way here, all the way from Terfanig, I've been hurting you because you like Aurig better than you like me.
A wise man told me once that horses kick and bite because they're afraid or hurt more often than because they're angry. It hurt to use Penrod's arguments.
Oh, I'm not a horse, he huffed.
But are you afraid and hurt? I asked. He did not reply. You can't blame a horse that strikes out in pain or fear. You just see what you can do to relieve the cause.
Tostin laughed, a real laugh this time. Or you slit the poor animal's throat.
I have to admit, there have been times. If someone had been listening, they'd have thought we were idiots, laughing ourselves to jelly in a filthy cell, me chained to the wall, and Tostin so badly injured he yelped now and again as he laughed.
So, how are you going to rescue us? He asked finally. Are you going to switch allegiance from the bastard who killed poor old Erdrick?
To Carrion, I snorted.
Now that's a good choice. Like the chicken who went to live with the foxes because she was afraid of the farmer's dog.
No.
So we'll sit here and rot.
I looked at the silver ring on my numb hand. I think I have a better plan. I called Aurig to me, as I'd summoned him often in Hurog, though I'd never tried calling him outside of Hurog's walls. Since the pyre where I'd burned the village dead, I hadn't tried any more magic, because untrained magic can be deadly. Even so, I hadn't really expected the power that flooded my call. The ring vibrated with magic and sent warmth burning through the numbness of my hand and arm and made them mine again. I could all but smell the magic that coalesced slowly into Aurig's huddled form, which looked very much like Tostin's huddled form had, except Aurig was shaking. He twisted awkwardly until he was clinging to my leg.
Don't leave again, please. Please don't leave again. It was too far.
His toneless, despairing whisper set the hairs on my neck on edge, and I wanted to kill whomever had done this. But Aurig's father was long dead. Aurig was the only person I knew whose father had been worse than mine. Perhaps that, rather than the ring, was the true heart of our bond. Tostin stared at Aurig.
No, I won't leave, I promised.
I didn't do it on purpose, Aurig. Are you all right? He buried his face in my leg and shook like a dog who'd been in cold water too long.
What did you do to him?
There was abhorrence on Tostin's face. Aurig's actions reminded me uncomfortably of Bastia and Carrion, too.
I did nothing to him.
Give him a moment, and I'll explain.
Tostin glanced from Aurig to me and then turned painfully away, muttering something that sounded like, it had better be good.
Where are we?
Asked Aurig after a moment. He didn't loosen his grip on me, but his voice sounded almost normal, if a bit muffled.
Buril, answered Tostin when he saw that I didn't know. Garanon's estate.
Garanon was dealing with the Vorsag? It It didn't fit what I knew of him, but neither did Bastia's new persona.
How did you get here?
Aura gasped.
Where's Bastia?
Bastia brought us, I said as conversationally as possible when chained up with a man clinging to my leg. She's responsible for the damage to Tostin, and she's not Cyrnak's slave, she's Carriarn's. He seemed to indicate that she'd been altered somehow by the Cholin to turn her into his loyal creature. Can that be done?
Only if she consented first, he said.
Did you know that she wasn't what she seemed? Oreg pulled away and looked at me finally. Even though the room was dark, his pupils were pinpricks.
I knew she was a mage as soon as she stepped into Hurog land, stronger than she knew, or at least stronger than she would admit to. Beyond that, once such altering as you spoke of it is done, it is not an easy thing to detect, not even if you know to look for it.
I nodded. She fooled me, too. Carriarn called her a chameleon. I smiled at him. She's like me. She can be anybody she wants to be.
No, Tostin interrupted abruptly. Not what she wants to be. I've been thinking about that. You wanted someone to rescue. Penrod and Axiel wanted a lover with no strings.
She let me talk to her about how... about... things. She stayed away from Ciara because she couldn't understand what Ciara wanted. That was how her act worked. As long as we saw what we wanted to see, we didn't look any further.
Oreg nodded, releasing his grip on me entirely so he could look at Tostin. Ward becomes exactly what he wants to become, usually to the vast irritation of the people around him. He can't get rid of the stubbornness or the honor.
Or the belief that he has to take care of anyone he meets, Tostin sounded both superior and pleased. Tostin, I said, there are some things you should know. In case you get out of this, and I don't, Oreg is not one of Father's Byblos. He was bound to Hurog the day it was built. He's our family ghost, though he's more a mage than a ghost.
Oreg turned betrayed eyes to me, though how else he expected me to explain his recent actions, I don't know.
Tostin looked at me almost the same way.
Oreg's the ghost?
Tostin said.
And you didn't tell me.
I didn't know until the day Father died, I replied. And, well, it seemed as if it were Oreg's story to tell, and he didn't choose to. That didn't seem to soothe either of them, so I changed the subject.
Oreg, could you get us out of here? I jangled my chains meaningfully. Yes, master.
Tostin's eyes widened as Oreg echoed Bastia's response to Carriarn's orders. I rolled my eyes.
Don't sulk, Oreg. Tostin, quit looking so... A weird, mewling moan filled the air, starting high like a stallion's shrill whistle and then dropping so deep that the stone against my back vibrated. Oreg came to alert like a hunting dog on the scent.
Basilisk! Where did they find a basilisk?
Basilisk? Asked Tostin.
Shavigmend called them.
Oreg paused, looked suddenly enlightened, and gave me a wry smile.
Stone dragons. Perhaps that is what the Arnstonians call them, too.
Silverfell stone dragon? I asked.
Oreg's eyes dropped. Basilisks smell like dragons.
So what's a basilisk? I asked.
Oreg relaxed gradually.
It's a lizard, about 4 body lengths from nose to tail, and weighs at least 4 times as much as your horse. It's as smart as a dog or a little better and has a bit of magic.
What kind? I asked.
It turns people to stone.
Tostin sounded breathless, but I expect that was as much pain as excitement over Carriarn's creatures.
There are a few songs about them. You remember the Hunt of the Basilisk, Ward?
He hummed a few notes that sounded vaguely familiar, so I nodded.
Silly song, Oreg sounded smug. What predator would turn its food into stone? What it can do is catch your eye and hold you still so it can enjoy a leisurely meal.
You think Silverfell's stone dragon became this basilisk? I didn't think the stone carving was supposed to be as big.
When you turn something into stone, you take out the moisture that makes most of the bulk of its flesh.
A really good mage could turn you into a pebble, said the really good mage before me. He looked better, though it was difficult to tell since the cell was dimly lit. His left hand still maintained contact with my leg.
Oreg, I said after a moment's thought. Would you take Toasten back to where you were? I think I ought to stay here. Carrion's planning something, but I need to get Toasten out so Carrion doesn't have a lever on me. Oreg shook his head. I can't. I could take him out of the castle, but I can't get any farther from you than that. His state being what it had been when he'd answered my call, I believed what he said. Can you take him to Hurog? No, nor get myself back there any way that you could not. I stared at him a moment. I thought you were Hurog. He nodded. I can find out what's going on there, but I can't affect it from here. This body can't leave you, as you have seen, unless it is in Hurog, and Hurog is too far for my powers to take me. Toasten shifted uncomfortably, but moving didn't seem to help. I frowned at him, but asked Oreg, could you take us all out of here, to where Axiel and Ciara are? Oreg shook his head. Ring magic brought me, but it couldn't send me away. I could take you out of the keep, though. Are you sure we're at Burl? I asked Toasten. He nodded his head. Apparently Carrion has had people stationed here for a long while. Garanon is hosting the Vorsag, I muttered to myself. It still didn't sound right. Bekram had told me that Garanon had been one of the 100, but Garanon had had no reason to betray Orinstone. Someone's coming, said Oreg. Hide yourself, I whispered. Toasten collapsed back onto the floor just as the door opened and three men came into the room. They unchained and escorted me out of the cell without noticing Oreg as he stood beside them. Oreg had hidden that way all the time at Hurog, but I hadn't been sure he could do it here. Conditioned by Hurog, where the prison cells were under the guards' tower, I was surprised to be led down three sets of stairs into what could only be the Great Hall. The room was much larger than Hurog's Great Hall and smelled woodsy and damp. Carrion and a full 10 of his men awaited me near the large fireplace on one side of the room. Bastia was conspicuously absent. I wondered where she was. My lord, Carrion greeted me with a smile as if I'd come visiting rather than from a holding cell. How kind of you to join us. You know Garanon, of course, but his lady doesn't attend court, so you won't have met Lady Elysian. His men parted until I could see that Garanon was indeed there, but he didn't look happy about it. There was a bruise covering half of his face, and his hands were chained behind his back, unlike mine. The Arnstonian's feet were chained tightly to his arms and each other, so that if he walked, he'd only manage a stumbling shuffle. It was Stala's recommended method of moving dangerous prisoners. Garanon must not approve of the use Carrion was making of his keep. It made me feel curiously relieved that the man who'd taken Hurog from me was not a traitor to his country. At Garanon's side stood a girl a little younger than I, and only a bit taller than Ciara. She was no beauty, clad as she was in a dirty, ripped court dress, but she held herself with such pride that it didn't matter. She stood next to her husband without touching him, leaving no one in doubt of her allegiance, though she wore no chains herself. Garanon, chided Carrion lightly, interrupting my thoughts, don't you have a greeting for our guest? Garanon took in my chainless state in a glance, and then he turned his eyes away, doubtless thinking me a traitor. You'll have to forgive him, Lord Wardwick, said Carrion. He feels that his brother betrayed him, and it has made him somewhat bitter. Losing your lands can do that to you, I replied pointedly after a moment's hesitation. It seemed prudent to distance myself from someone Carrion was treating like a dangerous enemy. Trading Jacobin for Carrion might be like the chicken who exchanged the farmer's dogs for a den of foxes, but it wouldn't hurt him to believe I was considering it. Carrion smiled. Just so, you're probably wondering why I've brought you here. He addressed his remarks to Garanon as well as me. I inclined my head politely. The guardsman who'd brought me watched closely, but I would never attack Carrion until I knew Toasten was safe. Thinking about Toasten made me suddenly nervous about Bastia's absence. Doubtless you intend to feed one of us to your monster and impress the Northlander, stated Garanon's wife in cool tones. She obviously liked Northlanders no more than she liked the Vorsag. Carrion inclined his head to her. Lady,
I'm certain you'll enjoy the show just as much. He nodded to one of his men, who hurried out of the room. You see, Garanon, your brother was of the mistaken opinion I was going to set him up as King of Orinstone. I had considered it, but he doesn't have the ability to lead men. He had months here without you, while you played catamite with Jacobin, while he could have won the hearts of your people and your wife. Instead, he alienates everyone. If I put him in your place, your people would kill him as soon as I left. It was not wise to admit he made promises he didn't keep in front of me, to whom he also expected to make promises. But he was young, and he knew, because Bastia knew, how badly I wanted Hurog. The grunting sounds of a struggle turned my attention to a doorway. Two of Carriarn's men dragged Landislaw, bound much as Garanon was, into the room. Instead of bringing him to us, they took him to the center of the room and held him there. Carriarn's eyes followed Landislaw's progress, but he continued speaking. Because of Landislaw's inability to win over the people here, I'll have to leave one of my generals in Burl now, and a good portion of a full army. Landislaw will have to pay for his bungling. Carriarn wasn't watching Garanon, so he didn't see the Arnstonian open his mouth to speak. Garanon's lady put a firm hand on his forearm and shook her head. Garanon closed his mouth without uttering a sound, but there was black hell in his eyes as he looked at his brother. The hall shook with that strange reverberating cry I'd heard earlier. I shivered, and Carriarn saw me. He clapped a friendly hand on my shoulder. Don't worry. My wizards have control of the beast. It takes two of them, but I have many. On the tail end of his words, the two large doors flew open with a bang. Briefly, I could see the Bailey grounds beyond, lit by the early morning sun. A monumental form blocked the entire doorway briefly, and then skittered into the great hall with a light motion that belied the creature's size. It stopped, motionless, a full body length from the door, allowing us all to look our fill. It was as tall as Pansy in the shoulders, but most of its bulk was in length. Disregarding the size and a few other details, the basilisk looked a lot like the lizards that played in the king's gardens at Estion. Green scales the size of my palm covered it from tip to tail. Emerald eyes blinked unconcernedly at us from the front of its head like predators everywhere, but lizard-like. The eyes didn't appear to track in concert. Remembering Oryg's words, I averted my eyes hastily from the creatures and continued to study it. A braided band wrapped twice around its middle with black-painted runes obscuring the natural brown of leather. Wizard's work. Likely that was how they controlled the beast. Black horn spikes studded the forked tip of its tail and continued up the ridge of its back until they disappeared in the improbable ruff of scarlet feathers encircling its neck. A tongue, as large as my arm, flicked out of its mouth momentarily. I was so fascinated by the basilisk, I almost didn't see the two wizards who had entered in its wake. Like my father's wizard, Carriarn's affected the uniform dress of wizard kind, long beard, close-fitted tunic of black broadcloth and brilliantly dyed panel skirts that swept the floor. Armsmen walked to either side of the wizards, holding them by the elbows to support their weight. If they were able to control the basilisk, it wasn't without effort. A deep fear I'd held inside eased. These two would never be able to maintain such concentration during an actual battle, so Carriarn couldn't use the basilisk without risking losing as many men as his enemy. Direct its attention to its food, commanded Carriarn. One of the men by the nearer wizard bent down to speak into the wizard's ear, and the guards holding Landislaw turned their heads away from the beast. The basilisk turned toward Landislaw, who had closed his eyes and continued to struggle against the grip of the men who held him. Either their grip loosened when they turned away from him, or terror granted him extra strength because Landislaw broke from his keepers and shuffled toward us on bound feet. Garanon! He cried. His brother made an attempt to go to him, but Carriarn's guards gripped him. The basilisk moved suddenly, so fast that my eyes almost couldn't track it. One moment it was near the door, the next it was beside Landislaw. The noise it made drew Landislaw's attention. I knew the moment its gaze captured Garanon's brother. He stopped moving as suddenly as if he were a puppet whose strings were cut. The basilisk kept one eye on its food and allowed the other to swivel over us. Only after the cold gaze passed over me did I realize I should have looked away. But it hadn't been interested in more food. If I stood frozen, it was not from any magic of the basilisk's gaze, but from the knowledge that there was nothing I could do. Without a weapon, I stood no chance against the creature, not to mention Carrion's guards. With my brother captive, I could not throw away my life. But standing there was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life. Apparently reassured it wouldn't have to fight any of us for its dinner, the basilisk butted Landislaw with its jaw, knocking him over. It opened its mouth to reveal small, triangular teeth no larger than a dog's. Swiveling its head, it engulfed Landislaw's upper body, and then the reptilian nose jerked upward, forcing the limp man to slide into its maw. One of the guards he'd been holding Landislaw turned to the side and began vomiting helplessly. Landislaw wasn't dead. Held by the basilisk's terrible magic, he would be slowly digested while he yet lived. I'd never liked Landislaw, but no one deserved that.
What happens to the chains? I asked in a casual tone. I was counting on the dimness of the hall hiding my paleness.
Carrion's eyebrows raised in reaction to my casual tone.
It vomits up the hard tissues after a few days.
Like an owl, I said, holding my voice level.
Never let the enemy know what scares you. I kept my gaze on Carrion's face, not wanting to witness Garanon's pain.
Where did you find out how to control it?
Carrion smiled as if he'd found a soulmate, if I could convince him of it. My plan was half-formed at best, the better to accommodate the changing situation. The Cholin was very helpful. She is tired of Talvinish rule. Without Jacobin, the Cholites could take over and run the whole country. Her order has libraries that date back to the time of the Empire, and she has sent me several mages, though none as useful as Bastia has proved.
Why did you bring me here to see this? I asked.
Bastia thought you might be interested in my stone dragon, since Hurog was once the home to dragons. He smiled suddenly. Do you know that the emperors had dragons in their service? I am the first since the ancient times to own a dragon.
He was the first what? Emperor? He did not have his empire yet. I nodded thoughtfully.
Tell me, your highness, how do you intend to return Hurog to me?
There was no need to fake my feelings for my home. Doubtless even the impassive-faced soldiers heard my lust.
Carrion laughed. Directly to business. Why the change of heart?
You expect me to lose face before my brother? Eventually he'll come around to the idea that I did it to save Hurog, but it will take time for him to adjust. I know the Talvinish king will never return her to me, and I have little love left for him after he killed my cousin. My question is, what is your price?
Nothing you cannot pay, he said quickly, afraid his fish would slip the hook. You will give me loyalty and taxes, as you now do to Talvin.
I've made vows to Talvin, I said, letting the thought trouble my brow as if I'd just realized what accepting Carrion's help would mean. A Hurog does not break vows.
No one holds to vows that are already broken, he said. Jacobin Talvin broke the bonds his ancestors forged with Hurog so many years ago when he stole Hurog from you on a whim. You owe him nothing.
I let my jaw harden as he spoke, then widened my eyes and let them go soft and sad. He did, just as he allowed your armies to ravage Arryn-stone after he took away their means to defend themselves. Such a man does not deserve to be king.
How easily you give away your honor, boy, said Garanon. His voice was thick with tears and anger.
How dare you speak of honor to me, I roared in my father's best manner. You took away my Hurog, and why? So that your traitorous little brother could escape Cyrnak's slap on the wrist? A punishment your brother well deserved. Perhaps if you let him accept the responsibility for his actions just once, he wouldn't have ended here. I will not hear talk of honor from Jacobin's whore.
I wanted Garanon and his lady to escape tonight with Oregon Toast, and with luck, Carrion would never believe I'd lifted a single finger to help them.
"Take Lord Garanon and the lady back to their previous quarters," ordered Carrion sharply.
Garanon narrowed his eyes at me, his anger a smoldering flame that momentarily blotted out the terrible agony in his eyes. His voice was a whisper that carried through the room.
"Unlike you, my brother was no traitor. He owed no oath to Jacobin, and he wanted freedom for his people. He was guilty of stupidity and short-sightedness.
You add greed to his list of faults.
I hope I live long enough to see you feed the basilisk."
He caught my gaze as tightly as ever the basilisk could, holding my eyes until the guardsmen dragged him from the room. Carrion patted my arm. "You are no traitor. Jacobin is no king of Shavig or Arunstone. A real king protects his people." I tilted my chin up and turned back to the king of Vorsag.
"You are right," I said decisively. "No king who deserves that name would do so little to protect his people. Now, what are you going to do about Hurog, and why are you interested in it?
Hurog has no wealth."
"No, but she has great power, and I'm not speaking of just the dragon bones. Cyrnak tells me that when your uncle defied the king after he killed your cousin, all of Shavig marched to his tune."
"Well, of course," I said, as if it hadn't surprised me to hear of it. "Hurog is a proud name in Shavig." I let the thought collect visibly.
"Oh, I see. Through me, you'll control Shavig.
But that won't work if they know that you put me in control. Shavigmen don't like the Vorsag." Carrion smiled.
"I knew you were smarter than Landislaw.
What if we make you the rescuer of Hurog?
Defending her from her foes. We'll kill your uncle, and then you'll return and take his men, driving us out of Hurog.
After I get the dragon bones."
"And welcome to them," I said in an absent but truthful tone. "The dragon was dead, and it was the living I had to protect. But do we have to kill my uncle?"
"He took Hurog from you, Ward. He deserves no mercy."
I took in a deep breath, as if steeling myself to a difficult task.
"You're right. Yes, I'll do it. But what about my brother? I won't have him killed."
"That's not necessary. If you can convince him to follow your lead." I nodded. "I think I can bring him around." They cleaned and bandaged the arm Penrod had wounded before the guardsmen escorted me ever so courteously back to my cell. Even the locking of the door was done with an apologetic air. They did not reattach me to the wall. The cell had been cleaned while I was gone. Stale, musty straw was replaced by fresh, flower-scented rushes. Tostin was sitting in the corner of the room, his knees up and his head buried against them. The light from the small window high over our heads didn't let me see much more. I'd been consumed with my private guilt, having watched a man die without lifting a finger to prevent it. But my brother's state pushed that to the background.
"Tostin," I asked, but he didn't look up. "Bastia healed him," said Orug from behind me.
He startled me, but it was as much the anger in his voice as the sudden appearance.
"She crawled inside my mind," Tostin whispered. "I couldn't keep her out. She stole my soul, and I couldn't stop her."
Frightened, I looked at Orug, who shook his head and said,
"No one stole your soul, Tostin. You can give it away, but they cannot steal it. Not even by ruse."
"Gods,"
Tostin moaned. I put a hand on his shoulder. He stopped rocking and looked up at me.
What happened to you?
My mind flashed back to the basilisk, and I swallowed bile.
"Is there anyone listening?" I asked Orug.
He tilted his head a moment.
"Not by magic. Carrion took me to watch his basilisk eat Landislaw whole. It just engulfed him like a snake eating a mouse."
Even saying it made me feel ill.
"Why didn't he chain you up again?"
asked Tostin, who knew who Landislaw was but had never met him, leaving him unmoved to the boy's fate.
"Because he wants Shavig,
and he thinks Hurog will sway the other Northlanders. Something we may have to thank Durok for, I answered, glad to change the subject. Much better to worry about Cariarn than to continue to think about Landislaw slowly dissolving inside the basilisk. Give me a few moments to think. They were silent as I ran through possibilities in my head. There was a game that my aunt taught me to play once. It involved taking a skipstone board and imagining all the possible combinations of play. Cariarn was leaving for Hurog very soon, and Garanon and his wife would be dead before Cariarn left. He could not afford to leave the Lord of Beryl alive, so Aurig would have to get them out of the keep. Cariarn's abrupt delay of his plans for Aurinstone after Bastia brought us here puzzled me. Cariarn couldn't have had a better setup to take Aurinstone. But Havernus might discover Cariarn's people here any time. And Cariarn was going to risk that in order to get the dragon bones out of Hurog? Obsessions, I thought. This is all about obsessions. Cariarn wanted magic more than he wanted Aurinstone. What will he do with the bones?
Bastia thinks drinking powdered dragon bones could make her the most powerful wizard alive, said Tostin. She was gloating over it.
What would it do for someone who could not work magic? I asked.
It could turn him into a mage for a time, answered Aurig. But he'd have to continue consuming the bones to keep his powers. Eventually, it would kill him.
Aurig, if you were at Hurog, could you keep the wizards from finding the dragon? I asked. Bastia left a strand of hair in the cave.
Possibly, he said. How many wizards does he have?
How many could you defeat?
If I were in the keep, I could keep 3 or 4 of Bastia's caliber out for a few days, if I could find her hair and get rid of it much longer.
Could you destroy the dragon bones? I asked. He shook his head.
No.
I nodded and dropped back into thought.
Ward, why did Bastia have Penrod try to kill you? Asked Tostin.
She knew Cariarn wanted the bones, and you were the best way to get them.
What? Asked Aurig.
I hadn't had time to think about it, but Tostin was right. It was strange. I told Aurig about Penrod's attack and how my brother had saved me. I thought about the odd look I'd seen on Bastia's face in Havernus's great hall while I'd been laughing with Tisala and of her reaction when I'd explained why I could not be her lover. Had she been so angry with me that she would risk Cariarn's wrath to kill me? I suspect Cariarn doesn't know anything about it, I said. I wonder how much she can do outside his orders. Aurig just shook his head, so I put the problem of Bastia aside and thought about more immediate concerns. Garanon, his wife, and Tostin had to get to safety. I would risk my life, but not my brother's. With him safe, I could go with Cariarn to Hurog. Cariarn would destroy my home in order to get the dragon bones. If I were there with Aurig, destroying Hurog would not be necessary.
The king, I said slowly to myself, not to my audience. The king killed our cousin and took Hurog from me, which absolves me of oaths taken as the Hurog Meeton's heir. Cariarn proposes to return Hurog to me if I support him.
Tostin staggered to his feet.
Ward, don't do it. You can't trust him.
No, I agreed mildly, but then he can't trust me either. He's going to attack Hurog one way or the other. I need to be there, and the fastest way to Hurog is to ride with him. Tostin frowned at me.
However, I said, staring at the wall again,
when I tell you my intentions, you become enraged and hit me with...
I looked around and found a new item in the cell that had been added to increase our creature comforts.
With the chamber pot, knocking me unconscious, you escaped the cell by some ingenious method. I stared at the door, but it looked solid. There was no bar in it, though, just a large iron lock.
Tostin spent a lot of time on the waterfront, said Aurig.
Waterfront rats have all sorts of useful skills. I gave Tostin an interested look, and he squirmed.
All right. I know how to pick most locks if you give me a day or two.
I can do it faster, offered Aurig.
I grinned. So, thinking he's killed me, Tostin gets the door open and searches through the rooms up here until he finds Garanon and his lady, because Garanon knows how to get out. Tostin drew a deep breath.
I know Aurig will go with you.
But are you sure you don't want me to?
I make a fair backup.
It amazed me, coming out of Tostin. Not the offer, but the manner in which he offered it, in his quiet acknowledgement that Aurig would be more help. "I need Aurig because of Bastia and Hirog," I said. "I need you because you can show Garanon back to Tisala and safety. I need you because Bekram likes you, and he just might listen to you tell him a crazy tale about runaway slaves who are spies and dragon bones hidden in the heart of Hirog. Get him to gather the Blue Guard and force march to Hirog." He gave me a wary look and checked my face for sincerity. Then he straightened his shoulders and nodded. I'd given him a task to do. I'd gotten him out of danger, especially since there was absolutely no way he could travel all the way back to Kallus, get Bekram, and ride to Hirog before Carrion got us all on ships and sailed into Tirfanic Harbor. Geography had never been his strong point. He'd be angry, but he'd be safe. When Aurig opened the door after a bit of magic at the lock, we could hear the guards at the bottom of the stairs. We kept quiet as we began to search the other rooms on the same floor. Garanon and his wife were in the second cell we found. Aurig had no more trouble with that lock than he'd had with ours. I pulled the door open and stepped inside, just missing being brained with a thankfully empty chamber pot. Originality aside, chamber pots are heavy enough to make good weapons. I grabbed it before Garanon's wife could try it again. "Stop it," I said in a hushed voice. "I'm the only one who gets the brain ward tonight," said Tostin, stepping through the doorway. He bowed to her. "I'm Tostin of Hirog, and you must be Garanon's wife." "What are you doing?" asked Garanon from the shadows. He didn't sound happy, but he was quiet. I released his wife, but kept the chamber pot. "Rescuing you," I replied. "You don't think Carrion's going to let you live, do you?" Aurig started working on the chains that held Garanon, and I set the chamber pot on the floor. "I know him," said Garanon's wife, nodding at me, though speaking to her husband. "But who are the other two?" Garanon, shaking free of his chains, peered first at Aurig, then Tostin. "They're all Hirogs, but none that I've met." It wasn't rudeness that kept me from making formal introductions. I just couldn't remember Garanon's wife's name, and I couldn't take the shortcut of calling her Lady Burl or Lady Garanon because Orinstonian custom didn't work that way. After an awkward moment, I said, "You'll have to introduce me again to your wife, sir. Then I'll make known my kinsman." A brief smile crossed Garanon's face. "May I present my wife, the Lady Elysian?" There was more affection in his voice than I expected, given the nature of his relationship with the king. I bowed and waved an arm at my brother. "Lady Elysian, Lord Garanon, may I present my brother, Tostin, your rescuer." In the cell, amid chamber pots and straw, Elysian curtsied, and Tostin bowed. Garanon said incredulously, "He's dead." I grinned. "Hirog has a reputation for ghosts, sir. Lady Elysian, Lord Garanon, may I present my kinsman Aurig, who is also a wizard." "Indeed," Garanon murmured. "How useful." "Now," I said, "is there a way out of here? Or does Aurig have to see if he can spirit you out?"
"And leave Burl in the hands of the Vorsag?" asked Garanon.
"Not much you can do about it at the moment," observed Aurig.
The Orinstonian stared at Aurig, a muscle twitching in his jaw. Then he turned his attention back to me.
"So, you are going with Carrion, and you rescue us because?"
"Because it is the right thing to do."
He laughed, a quiet, disbelieving sound. "I might have believed that of the simpleton you played, but you lie too well, Lord Wardwick. Carrion has offered you the same deal he offered my brother. You have seen the results, but you're willing to risk it for Hirog, aren't you?"
Tostin drew in a sharp breath as if he'd just realized how great a temptation Carrion had offered me. I nodded my head, unwilling to take time to argue. "Figure it out for yourself. My brother will take you to where Havernus's daughter's troops are gathered. She'll see to it her father knows about Burl." Garanon's eyebrows rose.
"Then you go to Hirog. Carrion breaks in, takes whatever it is he wants from your keep."
"Dragon bones," whispered Aurig.
Garanon continued without pause,
"and your uncle is killed in the battle. You get Hirog."
Tostin stiffened, looking at me wild-eyed. I guess he'd forgotten about Uncle Durdok. It hurt that he could believe I would kill our uncle to get Hirog, but there was a part of me that anticipated my uncle's death. Oh, not that I would kill my uncle, but that he would be killed in some way I could not prevent. The hero, me, returns and triumphs over evil, and Hirog is mine. mine. And that's why I didn't bother to defend myself. Garanon gave me a shadowed look and turned to Tostin. There's a passage from the next room over. It is very strange, said Orug once he'd locked the two of us back in my cell and picked up the chamber pot.
What is, I asked.
The way you've convinced everyone, including yourself, that the two of us can stop Carrion and his whole army.
I don't have to stop his army, I explained. All I have to do is get Durok to evacuate Hurog rather than fight for it. All Carrion wants is the dragon bones. He'll take them and leave Hurog.
So you're going to let Carrion take the bones?
Orug tapped the chamber pot unhappily on his thigh. It's the only way I see for Hurog to survive. Orug stared at me, but in the poor light of the sputtering torches, I couldn't see the expression on his face. In the quiet, I could hear the murmur of voices as several men came up the stairs.
The chamber pot, hit me, I said, bending my knees so Orug could get a good angle. I can fake unconsciousness, but it's got to be hard enough to raise a bump.
Orug stared at the chamber pot.
I could still get you out of here. We could get Bekrim and bring an army to defeat Carrion.
I straightened. Burl is only 3 or 4 leagues from the sea. With the wizards for communication, Carrion will have a fleet at the nearest port waiting for him. Bekrim is at Kallus. He'll have to travel overland.
Orug worked it out for himself.
It'll take him at least a week longer to get to Hurog than it'll take Carrion.
I nodded. Hurog isn't ready for a siege. It won't last a week.
The guards had gone to Garanon's cell. I could hear them shouting, and I bent down again.
Do it!
So the Hurog Meaton sacrifices the dragon again, said Orug.
I caught a better look at his face as he raised the chamber pot over his head. What I saw there told me that Orug wasn't unhappy about the opportunity to hit me. As it turned out, I didn't have to fake anything at all. Chapter 14. Wardwick. It always takes me a few days of sailing before I quit trying to jettison last week's dinner. My stomach told me I was aboard a ship before I opened my eyes to see Bastia sitting cross-legged on the floor beside my bunk, wearing boy's clothes and looking very much like the woman who had traveled halfway across the 5 kingdoms with me. She smiled.
Good morning, Ward. How's your head?
I returned her smile before I remembered what she was. I touched my head gingerly, but could find no bump.
I healed you, she said. I'm sorry Tostin was so angry that you chose to follow my master. He gave you quite a concussion. My master thought you should sleep until we reached the sea, so I let you rest.
How do you know Tostin was angry? I planned upon that interpretation, but she sounded so certain.
When I healed you, she said, patting my knee, I picked up on your emotions. I felt how much he hurt you.
Tostin had said she invaded his mind when she healed him. Just how much did she know? He doesn't understand what Hurog means to me, I said tentatively. Her normalcy so contrasted with the picture of her kissing Carrion's boots, it was hard to believe it was both the same person. She nodded her head sympathetically.
He'll come around. He idolizes you. After Durok is dead, he can put it behind him.
So she hadn't read me enough to know that Durok's death was one of the things I hoped to stop by traveling with Carrion.
Everyone seemed to think that I could just throw away my uncle's life in order to satisfy my own ambitions.
I don't know why I cared what Bastia thought. Maybe it was just confirmation of Tostin's opinion that hurt. Does King Carrion know how you tried to kill me? I asked. She dropped her head so I couldn't see her expression.
That was very bad of me, she said.
Then she met my gaze and laughed.
Did you think you could get away with flirting with Havernus's cow after refusing me? And you suffered. I saw it on your face when Penrod died.
She sounded like my mother talking about her garden.
Poor Penrod. I had thought to use him to kill your wizard, but the opportunity with us so close to my master was difficult to resist. He fought me, though. I don't think I could have gotten him to do more than wound you before he broke the hold, but Tostin made that a moot point, don't you think?
She smiled again at the expression on my face and ran her fingertip around the outside of my ear.
I told you, you'd regret how you treated me. But
There was a repellent eagerness in her eyes.
If you tell my master, I'm sure he'll punish me. Speaking of whom, I'd better tell him you have awakened.
Wordlessly, I nodded. She shut the door behind her, but I couldn't tell if she locked it or not. Orug appeared, sitting in the same place she'd just been.
He told her to make you comfortable.
I shivered, and Orug patted my knee the same way Bastia had. I jerked away because I hadn't been able to jerk away from her. Did Tostin get away?
Yes.
He shifted on the bed, not looking at me.
I'm sorry I hit you so hard.
I remembered what our last words had been, and why Orug had been upset. Orug,
I wouldn't let him take the bones if I could see any way around it.
He nodded his head, not looking at me.
What are you going to do about Durok?
Tostin, Bastia, and now Orug, I thought. It didn't help that the rocking of the boat had begun to make me nauseated. Thoroughly miserable and wanting to hurt him back, I said, I'll kill him if Cariarn doesn't take care of it for me. He's the last thing standing between me and Hurog. If I have to sacrifice everyone left at Hurog to regain my birthright, well then, I guess that's what I'll do. I thought he'd catch the sarcasm, but he left instead. Even Orug, I thought. Even Orug believes me capable of killing Durok. The next few weeks were grim. If I went onto the deck, I had to talk with Cariarn with Bastia always nearby. I had to be very careful not to do anything that would tell her I was not Cariarn's ardent supporter. Bastia herself behaved as if nothing had changed, forcing me to do the same. I'd grown used to being less guarded, and the old cautions learned from my father's treatment sat upon me like a hair shirt. I don't think I could have done it if I hadn't wanted what Cariarn offered so much. It gave me a truth to blind him with. Cariarn proved his reputation for charm. He asked me soft-voiced questions and listened while I ranted and stormed about the idiots around me, the way I'd always wanted to rant about them. I told him of my ambitions and how much Hurog meant to me. I even told him about my father. I talked myself so raw that when I went to my cabin in Orug's accusing silence, I couldn't bring myself to confront Orug about his assumptions. His distrust hurt almost as much as the loss of Hurog. Again, I'd resigned myself to it at Silver Fells, but that didn't mean it didn't hurt when Cariarn dangled it in front of me. I stood near the prow one evening, the setting sun on my left sending red fingers out into the darkening sea. The air was chill on the water and blew my hair away from my face. You can't make the ship go faster by willing it, said Cariarn, approaching me from behind. Nor could I make it any slower. Last night I'd overheard the Seaford-born sailmaster say we were making good time. I'm getting tired of the food, I said truthfully. Orug wasn't speaking to me except when I demanded it. I wondered bitterly if Orug would tell some long-distant Hurog Meeton about Wardwick, who had betrayed Dragonkind one final time. But Orug wasn't without companionship. He'd made friends of the shy Trillies who lived in the darkest bowels of the ship. I'd seen one of the gray-green rat-like creatures scamper off his lap when I came into our cabin one evening. It was shortly after that the food began to suffer from rot, rats, and weevils. My blankets were always damp. Rats got into my trunk and put a hole into every garment I owned. I made Orug repair them. It might have been just ship's luck, but I suspected Orug or his Trillies, who were fully capable of such mischief and weren't bound by the ring to serve me. I've spoken to the shipmaster about his food storage, said Cariarn amiably. I gave an inward shudder and silent apology to the poor unfortunate. I've sent a boat out to the Sea Singer to get some supplies, so at least we'll have good food tonight.
There were 6 ships, including ours. 250 men in each ship except for the Serpent, which carried 100 men, the Basilisk, and 50 horses, officers' horses. Pansy had been left behind at Burl. 1,400 men, of which about 2/3 were actually fighting men, the rest being cooks, messengers, smiths, grooms, and the like. So almost 1,000 men and a monster to take Hurog. Durok had, at best, 120, and he was missing Stala and 50 of the Blue Guard. I kept my gaze on the sea. I've always hated to travel by water,
Carryarn said, setting his arms over the railing and leaning out into the wind. "You get seasick?" I asked, though I hadn't seen any sign of it in him. "No more than you," Carryarn grinned. I smiled back. No one knew about the night I'd spent throwing up. Oreg had helped me dispose of the mess quietly, though I'd had to order him to do it. He'd spared no sympathy on a Hurog mutant who'd betray his own.
"It's just," Carryarn said, "that I hate being dependent on something I can't control."
I laughed and turned toward him.
"Me too."
"You look sad sometimes," he said. "Bastia thinks that you worry about your uncle." I nodded my head. "Sometimes. But he took Hurog from me." I met Carryarn's eye. If anyone knew about obsessions, it was he. I cowered beneath my father's hand, gave up my very identity to keep Hurog. I won't let Durok take it from me. He touched my arm, then after a moment gave me an affectionate shove.
"I can't believe that you don't know where the dragon bones are."
He'd said similar things before, and I gave him the same excuse as always. I'd just found out about them myself a few weeks before Bastia came. Oreg belonged to my father before me, and his father before him, but Carryarn didn't need to know that. My father's mishandling of him has made him all but useless to me. It's taken me a long time to get Oreg to trust me with the secrets of Hurog.
"So you think there are more secrets?"
His response was so idle, so harmless-sounding, that I had to go over what I'd said in my head to find out what had triggered his oh-so-very-casual interest.
"Secrets. Plague it."
To a man obsessed with magic, secrets meant magic. I'd never get him out of Hurog if he thought there was something else there, especially since there was nothing else to be found. I nodded my head and gave him the truth. My grandfather sold all the important stuff. 4 suits of dwarven-made mail, every artifact that his wizards could find touch with magic, most of the valuable tapestries, to get Hurog through 2 bad seasons half a century ago. But according to the keep's accounts, there were 2,000 pieces of silver left over. I know my father had access to them from his notes in the account book. There should be almost 1,200 left, and they weren't in the regular coffers. I'd bet gems to sweetmeat that Oreg knows where it's stored. That would buy enough sheep to start a fair-sized herd. It's sheep that'll restore prosperity to Hurog, you know. I confided at my usual pace. The expression of interest on his face became fixed, but I continued anyway. My father and grandfather trotted with horses, but they are labor-intensive. You don't get good money out of them unless they're trained. Sheep, on the other hand. I watched the interest die out of Carryarn's eyes as I waxed enthusiastic about sheep breeding. Oreg was standing in my cabin when I pulled my shirt off over my head, though I'd been alone when I grabbed at the bottom of it.
"You usually abbreviate what you say so that you don't drive people to drink by how slowly you talk, don't you?" he observed. "Did you notice the grip Carryarn had on his knife while you told him about the difference between northern Avenhellish sheep and southern Avenhellish sheep?" It was the longest speech he'd made to me since I'd awakened aboard ship. It made me wary.
"So what do you have planned next?" I asked in mild tones. This evening had been tiring, and I wasn't in the mood to ignore him anymore. "You could have the trillies rot the rope holding up my hammock so it dumps me on the floor tonight." I'd abandoned the bed for a hammock because it helped hold the seasickness at bay. His eyes widened at my words, so I tugged hard on the top of my hammock, as opposed to the bottom, which would only dump me feet first. And at the second jerk, the hook holding the hammock to the upper deck pulled out of the beam. It was the wood, not the rope, that had rotted. I pulled my clothing trunk over and used it to stand on while I moved the hook to the next board over without saying a word. When I was satisfied the hook would hold my weight, I moved the chest back to where it had been and sat on it. It was time to negotiate. I needed Oreg if I were to save Hurog, so I couldn't afford to sulk anymore. "I know you don't want to give the dragon bones to Carryarn, but I don't see any way to prevent it," I said.
"She was beautiful," he replied obscurely. "Rose and gold with a voice.